again in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not forlorning, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Pray, God help me as we preach. And I love you, Father, and thank you for the privilege it is to call upon your name this morning. Father, again, I ask you, Lord, that you would cleanse me of all my sin. Lord, I pray that you fill me with your Spirit, call me the call that you placed upon my life. Lord, set a guard in my mouth, let me not say anything I should not. But Lord, help me say everything that the Spirit of God has urged me to say this morning in this message. I pray, Father, today that you would speak to each and every heart. Lord, draw us closer to thee. Lord, cleanse my mind, my heart, and my conscience this morning, Father, and give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Lord, that I might speak forth thy word in truth. And Lord, what you do in the hearts of your people this morning, those that may be unsaved, Father, we'll thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Here in this portion of Scripture this morning, I want to go back to verse 3 this morning and read in your hearing where it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I want to preach this morning just for a little while, if the Lord will help me, on women's work. Amen. And talk to you just for a little while how the Scripture about women's work. And of course, I'm not an authority on women's work. My wife would be an authority on that, I guess. But I do know what the Bible teaches about certain things concerning woman's work. And first of all, I like to say that a woman's work is homework or housework, you should say. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 9, go now, this is Rebecca speaking to Jacob. You remember Jacob's daddy was going to give a blessing to Esau, and God had chosen Jacob. Rebecca knew that, and she wanted Jacob to get the blessing because he was to be the head of the family. The younger son was to be the head of the family and not the elder son. But in Genesis 27 and verse 9, Rebecca, Jacob's mother, says, go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And of course, a woman's work will start in the home, amen. And I believe that that's not all of her work, amen. She's not just a cook, but I tell you, the old saying goes, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, amen. And that's a good old saying, amen. If a woman don't know how to cook, her husband's going to be sorely disappointed in her. I remember when, can I tell anything, Mary? I better not tell too much, amen. And, but anyway, I remember when we first got married, amen, her cooking wasn't like mama's, amen, and I was sorely disappointed in that fact, amen, but she has become a great cook down through the years, and I praise God for that's the reason I'm about 40 pounds overweight this morning. You can blame that lady right there for feeding me real good, amen. But a woman's work will start in the home, amen. Rebecca was a homekeeper. She knew how to cook goat meat, amen. She knew how to make savory meat for her husband that he liked, amen. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 8:13, and he will take you daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers, amen. And of course, that's Samuel telling Israel what the king would do. He's going to take daughters to be confectionaries. They're going to have to learn how to make cookies and make candy and make bread. They're going to be cooks. They know how to cook meat. They know how to cook beans and taters, amen. They know how to keep a house. They know how to bake bread. They know how to mix dough up, amen. Why? Because they're keepers at the house. Proverbs 31:15 says, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens, amen. And so a woman's work starts in the home. In Luke 10:40, the Bible says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? I bid her therefore that she help me. I thank God that I don't have to run the vacuum all the time, and I don't have to cook the meals all the time, and I don't have to clean the commodes all the time, and I don't have to strut the floors all the time, but I've got a wife that does most of that, amen, and she used to do all of it, amen, and she used to take care of three little young ones all at the same time, and thank God for woman's work. Praise God. I'm glad I didn't have to set up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning rocking babies and then have to get up at 5:30 in the morning and go to work. Amen. Work all day. But I had a wife that was there at the house and had them little babies, one in each arm, sitting in a rocking chair at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning rocking babies and crying and feeding babies and diapering babies and everything else and keeping the house. Amen. I praise God for women that will raise their young ones and do the work that needs to be done around the house. I thank God for the memory of my mama this morning. Now, my daddy was a farmer. He was around the house a lot, amen, but he was usually out in the field or down at the barn somewhere, over at the hog pen or up at the stock markets or somewhere like that. And mama was outside with a reap hook and cutting the grass in the yard and washing dishes and drawing water and getting the wood in for the coal stove, the wood stove, and baking bread, amen, and making pies and things like that, amen, and cooking 3 meals a day, every day. And I mean, that's good memories for me. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a blessed memory to me that I never went hungry. My mama always had something to eat for me and my brother and my sister. When I got up every morning, you know who got me up every morning, Brother Michael? My mama got me up every morning. And if I didn't get up on time, she'd hit me upside the head with something, amen. But she rolled me out of bed every morning, got me ready for school, and had breakfast on the table and fed me and sent me out the door with my little lunch, amen, and I headed off to school. When I got home from school, I walked in the door and there was my mama cooking supper. And I just thank God for that memory. I'm just, some ladies not able to do that. I understand that. Some cannot. Some have to do what you have to do. Amen. I'm not running nobody down this morning. I'm just saying I thank God for the memory of my mother that was at the house, keeping the house up, amen, and doing housework and hoeing an acre of garden every year, amen, and canning and then washing clothes out on the scrub board and running them through an old wringer, amen, catching her fingers in that wringer every now and then. I got a lot of memories of my mama. And they're good memories. My mama's a hard working woman. And I got a wife that's a hard working woman. I used to get mad at women. They'd ask my wife, said, what do you do? She said, I'm a housewife. And then they just look down their nose and make fun of that. Now, you try taking care of 3 little toddlers at the same time, and some of you ladies have. And you kept toddlers,
and you've cleaned house, and you've cleaned your husband's mess up, you washed his clothes, ironed his clothes, and you fed those young'uns, diapered those young'uns, and done all that, and you didn't get a lot of praise for it, amen. But I tell you what, you was working, wasn't you? What do they call that? A domestic engineer or something? I don't know what you call that. I mean, what do you call woman's work, housework? What would you name it? If they got paid by the hour, man, that'd make a lot more than us men would. I guarantee you that. They'd be making more than men would if we paid them by the hour. Why? Because their work starts early in the morning. It don't stop till late at night. I'm talking about these mothers raising these young ones and taking care of their house like they should, and cooking meals, and taking care of their husband, amen, and don't get a lot of praise for it, and they don't get a lot of pay for it. And so a woman's work starts at the house. And then not only is a woman's work at the house, but her work is at the church house. She has not only housework to do, but she has church work to do. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And so the Bible teaches us that a woman is not to preach and teach, amen, in the house of God. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. And in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness, and with good works, let women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was not first formed, Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she should be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. That means delivered in childbearing. Don't mean her soul saved, amen, by having young'uns. Alright? But the Bible teaches that a woman is not to usurp the authority over the man. She's not to teach in the house of God. She's not to conduct the worship service. She's not to be the song leader. She's not to be the pastor or the deacon, amen. But what is she supposed to do? What is a woman supposed to do in the house of God? Acts 18:26 says, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, listen, here was Apollos. He was a great orator. And there was a man and his wife named Priscilla and Aquila, and the Bible says they heard Apollos speaking, but he wasn't real clear on the doctrine of Christ, and so they took him aside a little while and expounded unto him the Word of God more perfectly. So what's she doing? She's not usurping authority over him. She had her husband with her. She's not usurping authority over the man. She had her husband with her. But she's doing some teaching, isn't she? She's a teaching a man of God something. And then the Bible says in Romans 6:3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. If it wasn't for godly ladies helping the preacher out, helping the church out, amen, they wouldn't be no help sometimes. If it wasn't for godly ladies, churches wouldn't keep going a lot of times. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying their church work is very important. The Bible says in Romans 6:1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Kenesarea, and that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. She's helped many people in the church. She's helped preachers. She's helped me in the ministry, amen. And he's commending Phoebe for her labors in the house of God. Boy, us men would be in a pickle if we had a fellowship and didn't have no ladies cooking nothing, would we? Amen. If we didn't have them cleaning the church house up every now and then, we'd be in a grab hold, amen. I mean, this church house would be terrible shape if we didn't have some ladies every now and then running a vacuum cleaner and getting the dust cloth out and washing dirty dishes up, amen, and washing the commodes off, amen, and flushing somebody's mess that they left, amen, and making sure that the house of God was decent as to come into. Thank God for church work. Ladies who work at the house of God. They work at their own house. They work down at the church house. Philippians 4:3 says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Women can be witnesses for the Lord. I mean, you can tell folks about Jesus Christ. You can tell people how to be saved and what Christ has done for you. Okay? We've got church work to do. There's housework for women to do. There's church work for them to do. And thank God for women that do both. And then not only is there housework, church work for a woman to do, but there is parental work to do. If she's a mother, amen, if she's got children, she's got responsibilities. When God gave her those little children, He gave her great responsibility. And the Bible said in Psalms 113 and verse 9, "He maketh the barren women to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." If God has made you a mother of children, amen, a joyful mother of children, and allowed you to keep a house where there is children, amen, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. That's a blessing of God. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Blessed is he who hath his quiver full, amen. I enjoy seeing large families, and I enjoy seeing how God takes care of them. Me and Mary didn't have no children for several years. I was afraid we couldn't take care of them. You know what I found out? You can't take care of them without the Lord. Without the Lord's help, you can't take care of them, amen. If the Lord don't provide for them, you're not going to provide for them. Lord don't give you wisdom, know how to raise them, you're not going to raise them right. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying, have as many as God wants you to have. You ought to use some wisdom, amen. If you can't take care of them, if you can't trust God enough to take care of them, amen, don't have a parcel of them and not take care of them. But I'm saying that God can take care of children. God can provide. I remember the first year that Margaret come along, you know, I was scared to death, man. We'd just scraping by. We've been doing that for 34 years, amen, just scraping by. And I said, man, where in the world are we going to get all this money to buy this young clothes and buy diapers and all this stuff and buy formula and then take them to the doctor and all this? And I remember Margaret was about 2 weeks old, and there was some ladies at church. They come in, we come in one night at church, and there's about five or six big, you know, these big garbage bags we have in these garbage cans. There's about five or six of them big garbage bags full of clothes, baby clothes. And the ladies of the church that had a bunch of youngins herself had brought clothes and brought them to Mary, and Mary had enough clothes for Margaret for 3 or 4 years. I'm talking about different size clothes. She put clothes up in the closet. She had clothes packed away for 3 or 4 years for her to wear. And the Holy Ghost said, see, I can take care of them. I can take care of them. Boy, wasn't long, we had another little one come along. The Holy Ghost said, I can take care of her too. Then we had a little boy come along. God said, I can take care of him too. And you know God took care of them. And God took care of us through it all. Amen. And I thank God for that. Amen. What are you saying? I'm just saying that a woman has parental work to do. And if she's a keeper of house, amen, a joyful mother of children, she ought to praise the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:19 says, "Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And of course, that's talking about Hannah. She didn't have no young, and she prayed God would give her a little son. Said, Lord, if you'll give me a son, said, I'll lend him back to you the rest of his life. I'll give him back to you if you'll give me a little son. God answered her prayer and give her a little son, and she named him Samuel. And of course, God made a prophet out of him and a judge in Israel, and Samuel judged Israel for many years. Amen. But the Bible says that his mother made him a little coat and brought it from year to year. Every time he'd get a little bigger, she'd make the coat a little bigger, I guess. And she is concerned about Samuel. God gave her some other children for the loan of Samuel. And I'm sure that Hannah was a great mother. Titus 2:3 says the aged women should teach likewise that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving much wine. Teachers a good thing, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I tell you, mamas ought to love their husbands, they ought to love their children, and they ought to take care of their house, amen, and they ought to be discreet, and they ought to be chaste, and they ought to be good, amen, and what they do, they have little children watching them. You learn a lot from your mama. I mean, you learn bad things, you learn good things. If mama does something bad, you're going to learn. But if she's doing something good, you're going to learn it too. You're going to be taught some valuable lessons from your mama. You young ones that are in here this morning, your mama, if you got a good mama, you ought to thank God for her. Reason she tries to be good and do good is because she knows she's got little eyes looking at her all the time. Is that not so? I guarantee you, if a mama or daddy tells a dirty joke, them children hear it, they'll repeat to everybody they see. You tell them something about Jesus, try to get them to memorize the books of the Bible, and they can't hardly memorize it at all. But you let one bad word slip out of your mouth, and that little child will repeat it. You know that? That little child is looking at that mama, especially at mama, because he sees mama every day of his life. He loves mama. He's close to mama. Amen. And mama's the best thing this side of heaven to that little child. And whatever mama does is all right. Whatever mama says is gospel truth. And so it's very important that that woman that has children be a good mama, a chaste mama, a godly mama. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, known of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I tell you, a godly mama has the opportunity to teach her children how to be saved. A godly mama can set that child down and talk to that child and pray with that child and instruct that child from the Word of God on how to be saved, how to trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what Timothy's mama did. That's what his grandmama did. They instructed him on how to be saved. Paul came through preaching one time, and he heard the gospel and got saved by the grace of God, and Paul called him his son in the faith. But I tell you, there was a seed planted in that little boy's heart back when he had sat on mama and grandma's knees, amen, when he was a little boy. They instilled in him the things of God, the Word of God. Brother Robert, you bless my heart with your testimony sometimes. Old Brother Robert, his mama take him to church when he was little. Is that not right, Brother Robert? Used to go to church all the time, and I mean, he was around the things of God, and when he got down in the dumps, amen, down in the bottom of the sin barrel, amen, he knew where to look to. He knew to look up. He knew who to trust in. How did he know that? Because mama told him. Because mama took him over to the house of God when he was a little boy. He knew where to turn to when he needed help. And he got the help that he needed. And even though my mama was lost, my mama instilled in me as a child that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world. That the Word of God was true. There was a God in heaven that I was going to be accountable to one day. I mean, even as a lost mother, my mama instilled those things in my heart as a child. She told me about sin, about lying and stealing, things like that was wrong. God would hold me accountable one day for it. Why did she know such things? Because her mama had instilled things in her heart. My grandma Mullins was a godly woman. She had a bunch of youngins. I'm talking about 11, I think 11 or 12 of them. And my grandma Mullins took them all to the house of God when they was little. And some of them got saved and some of them didn't. Some of them went this way and some of them went the other way. But I tell you what, they all knew that grandma Mullins, their mama, was a godly lady. My grandpa Mullins wasn't as godly as grandma from what I hear, amen, but he was a Christian. Fought in the, what is that war over there? Spanish American War. Old Teddy Roosevelt there. Grandpa wasn't that godly, but grandma was. And grandma instilled in my mama some spiritual things and told her about Christ and told her the importance of living a moral life, a good life for the Lord and all those different things. And my mama instilled it in me as a little old boy. God saved my soul. God saved my mama. God saved my daddy. My brother and sister still not saved. But I tell you what, if it hadn't been for my mama instilling some of those things in my heart, I might not be saved today. It come from grandma. Just like it did Timothy's grandma. I'm saying that women have a great responsibility, mothers have a great responsibility to teach their children spiritual things. Daddy's not home all the time, but mama is around those little young'uns. She should be teaching those children spiritual things. Reading the Word of God to them, praying with them, taking them to the house of God. If Daddy can't make it, she ought to make sure they get there. Amen. And I thank God for mothers who do such things. Housework, church work, parental work. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "When I call remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," and that means unhypocritical faith. Paul is commending Timothy for his unhypocritical faith. He said, "The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I persuade that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." And so Timothy, Paul commended him for his unhypocritical faith. He said, "Your grandma had it first, then your mama had it, and then you got it." So it's very important that Christian mothers teach their children the things of God.
Amen.
There is housework, there's church work to do, there's parental work to do, and then there's matrimonial work to do. Genesis 2 verse 18 said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." And of course, every woman that's in this building that's married this morning is a helpmeet, should be a helpmeet to your husband. You should help your husband. You should stand with him, stand beside him, stand behind him, fight for him, amen, whatever it takes. Just be a helper to your husband. There's no godly woman or any woman in this building this morning ought to be a doormat. You ought not be trampled on and stepped on and treated as a doormat by your husband. And if you husbands do such things, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Hope God whoops the daylights out of you, amen. And you ought to treat your wife good. You ought to love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But every woman, every mother ought to do her matrimonial work as well, amen, be a good wife and love her husband. The Bible said in Psalms 128 verse 3, "Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. God gives a man a wife so they can have some young as amen and have a helpmeet, somebody to prop him up on the lean side. The Bible says in Proverbs 12 and verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness in his bones. I tell you, no husband ought to be ashamed of his wife. She ought to be a virtuous woman, amen, and be a crown to her husband. Amen. Be a good woman. Be a chaste woman. Be a godly woman and help your husband out. Love him. May not understand him. How many men in here understand women? I think I do sometimes, and then I find out I don't. I can understand men pretty good, you know where they're coming from sometimes, but women's hard to figure out sometimes. And I'm sure that us men, for women, is hard to figure out sometimes. God didn't make us alike, and I'm thankful for that, amen. And what are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying a woman should help her husband. A woman should bear children for her husband if she can, amen. And she should be a virtuous woman, be a crown to her husband, and not a rottenness in his bones. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I tell you what, if you find a good wife, you found a good thing. Amen. Especially on this day and hour in which we live, if a man can find a good wife, amen, he has found a good thing. Now, I'll tell you what, you can find a bad one real quick nowadays. But if you can find a good one, buddy, you got something. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying, well, the same goes both directions, too. Some of these ladies looking for good husbands, amen, them be found nowadays either. Now I tell you what, if a man finds a good woman, if he findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing and obtain the favor of the Lord. Proverbs 19:14 says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Praise God. The Bible says, Proverbs 31:11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Boy, if you can find a wife, don't spend everything that comes in the house. You find something. I think we got some good mamas in here. I've known some women by observation. Husband bring the paycheck home on Friday. By Saturday evening, it's all gone. I've known some take the paycheck down to the gambling hall and gamble it all away. Let the little young ones go hungry. Let the bills go unpaid. Likewise, I've known daddies do the same thing. Drink her up, dope her up, gamble it away. But a man that finds a woman, amen, that is faithful. And the Bible says that her husband doth safely trust in her, he shall have no need of spoil. He's not worried about her running off with some man. He's not worried about her spending all the money up and running the household deep in debt. Why? If he finds a good woman, he's found one that won't do that. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. The wife see that she reverence her husband. If you find a woman that reverences her husband, you found a good wife. By reverencing, I mean respect him and honor him. Don't go down to the beauty shop, amen, and tell every hussy in the beauty shop how sorry your husband is. Which they do, some of them do. You ladies probably know more about that than I do. I worked a job, I was in the maintenance department, Brother Reef. I wasn't jack of all trades and master of none. I was a forklift mechanic for a little while, and a welder and all different kinds of things, and worked on machinery and different things like that. In a place where they made cloth, folded cloth, and sold it, House of Fabrics in Simpsonville, South Carolina. and 90% of the people working that place were women. You talk about gossip. You talk about running husbands down. You talk about all kinds of junk going on all the time. I never heard of beat in my life. Now I'll tell you what, you can pick godly women out pretty quick. You can pick a good mother out quick. You can pick a good wife out pretty quick because she's not running her mouth about her husband. She's not spending everything that he makes. Amen. She loves her children. She takes care of her house. She does church work. Amen. She does whatever she can for the glory of God. And if you find such a woman, you find a good thing. The Bible said in Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now how many women wants their husband to rule over them? If you find a woman that's willing to allow her husband to rule over her, you found a good wife. Did you hear what I said? A woman that's willing to allow you to rule over her. Because you're not going to rule over her unless she allows it. You can try to make her submit to you, but I tell you what, you won't have nothing if you make her submit to you.
Amen.
But if she willingly submits to you and reverences you and honors you and helps you and takes care of you and your children, has your children take care of you, you found a good wife, buddy. Our submission is voluntary. A woman's submission is voluntary. You try to force her into submission, buddy, you're going to have divorce on your hand. Or you're going to get a knife in your gut. You're going to get sewed up in a bed sheet and beat to death with a broomstick creature running you. So. She's going to catch you asleep, buddy, and slit your throat. What are you saying, for? This is not my mess. I don't know how I'm getting off on that. I want to talk about godly mothers, good mamas. Hey, they're not mean, you know. Violent women know it. 1 Timothy 5:9 says, let not a woman be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. We're talking about matrimonial work. A widow taken into the number, and I don't want to get on widows this morning, but there is guidelines for women, the church taking care of certain widows. Church don't supposed to take care of every widow. Take care of widows that are widows indeed. Okay, and that's another message in itself, another lesson in itself. But the criteria for a woman, a widow, that was to be taken into the number is to be well reported of for good works. Have brought up children and lodged strangers and washed the saints' feet. Amen. I mean, take care of the saints of God. Help the saints of God out in their need. Do things for them. We're talking about good women, godly women. That's what mothers ought to be. If they're saved, they should be godly women and good women. And Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from far. That's from fries or wherever, amen. Mexico or wherever it comes from. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. Where'd she get money at? Well, with the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands take hold of the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. She clotheth, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles to the merchant. I mean, she's not just taking care of young ones and cleaning the house and being good to her husband and working down at church, but she's making some money on the side a little bit there too, wasn't she? What's she doing? She's making garments and selling them in swap meet, amen, or whatever, right? Nothing wrong with that. What's she doing? That's what it says she is doing. She's making things. She's planting a vineyard. She's selling fruit. She's selling vegetables. She's making clothing and selling clothing. My Grandma Howard and my Grandma Murphy both were quilt makers. They sewed quilts all the time by hand. I had big old, I don't know what them things are called, they just hung them from the ceiling. They'd let them down, they'd had that material stretched out on them, and they made quilts. They sold quilts. And they made extra money. And if it hadn't been for them making some extra money, Grandpa might have went hungry a time or two. But they were working women. Not only, I remember my Grandma Murphy, godly woman, good woman, raised some young ones for the Lord. She'd get out there and milk every day. We had a big old Holstein cow. Granny come get her milk. That old Holstein cow would give about 3 gallons a day. She'd go up there in the morning, get her about a gallon bucket full of milk. And I remember one day she wore an apron all the time, long dressing apron. And she was an old mountain woman. And she carried a big old pocket knife in her apron pocket. That old cow, you know, that was the tail just flapping them flies, you know, it'd come around, hit Granny upside the head. She grabbed that cow's tail, jerked that mouth out, whack. That cow went around without a tail for a while. I'm not talking about all the way up, I'm just talking about the bushy part. It was gone. Granny grabbed that chicken, wring its head off, throw it in the pot, and pluck him, feathers out. I mean, she was a tough woman, buddy. Fellas stealing her watermelons one time, Levi. And she said, I'm going to get that, brother. She sat in her window, cut all the lights out one night, had a double barrel shotgun. Late one night, this fellow slipped into her watermelon patch, and she let him have both barrels. And this fellow didn't show up for a few days, several days. And he finally come down by Granny's house one day and said, "How you doing, Aunt Marg?" Nobody'd seen him for a good while, you know. Said, "How you doing, Aunt Marg?" Said, "Aunt Marg, nothing." She reared back and hit him right between the hair and knocked him down. I'm talking about a man, knocked him down. Said, "Don't steal no more of my watermelon." Said, "I won't, Granny. I won't, Aunt Marg." They all called her Aunt Marg because she was a midwife. She delivered babies all over the country. About everybody had a baby in that period of time. Granny delivered it in Laurel County, Kentucky. Everybody called her Aunt Marg. Aunt Marg taught me the Psalms 23 when I was a little old boy. Set me on her knee, said, "I want you to memorize Psalms 23, and every time you come down my aisle, I want you to quote it to me." I had to quote Psalm 23, or I didn't get no corn balls. What is a corn ball? Anybody know what a corn ball is? That's popcorn with molasses poured all over it, made into a big ball. Corn ball. And you eat.
I thought you said bottle.
Corn ball. I couldn't get no elderberry wine either, Brother Rob, because my grandma was at Psalm 23. balls, popcorn balls. Nor upon a cornbread. What are you saying, preacher? Grandma might make upon a cornbread. I go there. I love cornbread and onions. My mama used to get so mad at me. Now, you young ones, listen. Thank God for a good mama. She'd wash my clothes and they'd reek of onions. I'd go out in the garden and pull them fresh onions up and stick them in my pocket and get me some tow sack paper, amen, wrap me some cornbread up, stick it down my pocket, go out and dig me a few worms, put them in a coffee can, and grab my fishing pole and go down to the river and fish. That was my lunch. I'd get home, you know, them old pockets smell like onions. Thank God for Mama, she still washed my clothes. Grabbed me up by the seat of my pants and jerked me in the house and scrubbed my ears out, you know, and cleaned the old dirt, them rolls of dirt out from under my neck. When I fall down, bring me in the house and patch me up, clean my cuts and scrapes up, bust my rear end when I needed it. But during all that, taking care of the house, planting the garden, cutting grass, milking cows, doing whatever Dad wanted her to do, shooting a rabbit, plucking a chicken. She took care of my daddy too. Who can find a virtuous woman? There's one work that a woman can't do. And that's the work of salvation. She can be praised by her children. She can be honored, like we've tried to honor our mamas today. I can honor my mama for trying to raise me right, being the best mama she could be. But I couldn't save my mama. And mama couldn't save herself. That's a work that only God can do. That's a work of the Spirit of God. That's the mothering ministry of the Spirit of God. It's not by Titus 3:5, Paul said, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy. He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. A godly woman's works will praise her and negate, but a godly woman's works cannot save her soul. She won't be a godly woman. She won't save, will she? If you want to be a scriptural mother, you've got to be saved. If you want to live according to what this Bible teaches, do what this Bible teaches, you're going to have to be saved. You're going to have to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're going to have to be indwelt of the Spirit of God if you're going to be a proper mother. I'm not saying you can't be a good mother, but to be a proper mother, be a spiritual mother, you've got to be saved. Acts 16:31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. If we had more saved mamas raising young ones for the Lord, we'd have a greater nation. We'd have a greater community. I tell you what, the hand that rocks the cradle controls this whole world. Believe it or not. You ought to thank God for your mama this morning. And you ladies, if you're not what you ought to be, you ought to ask God to help you be what you ought to be. And you can't be what somebody else is. You just be what God wants you to be. You be the best mama you can be. You be the best wife you can be. And I tell you what, your children will grow up and call you blessed and praise you. Your own works will praise you in the gate. Your husband will praise you. And your reward is going to be great in heaven. You say, well, I can't preach. I can't teach. I can't teach men. I can't lead Satan. I can't be a deacon and say, man, I can't do all this. Well, what can you do? You can do a lot. You can You got the greatest work to do in this world, a greater work than men has to do, and that's to raise children and guide them to God. I think that's a great work, don't you? If ever mama got the children saved, the world would be saved, wouldn't it? In order for mama to do that, mama's got to be saved. Let's stand together this morning. Maybe on Father's Day we'll hit some of these daddies, amen? Me included. If you got a good mama, you ought to thank God for her. You ought to tell her you love her. You ought to hug her neck and pray for her every day of your life. Thank God to give her grace and strength to be what she's supposed to be. Now, I know it's not easy for these women to do everything that they're supposed to do. It's not easy for a woman to submit to her husband when her husband's running her down all the time, not treating her like a lady. It's not easy for a woman to do that. It's not easy for a woman to be a good mama when her children won't obey her and listen to her and be what they're supposed to be. We can make it a lot easier on them of being what we ought to be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you again for allowing us to be in your house this morning. I do pray, Father, that you bless this invitation time. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to every heart. God, help me, Lord, to be the husband I ought to be to my wife. And Father, help me, help Mary to be the mother that you'd have her to be and the wife you'd have her to be. And Lord, bless our home and bless the homes of all these folks that are here this morning. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Elizabeth, you come on to the piano this morning. We're going to sing just a couple of verses of an invitation song this morning. Page 359. Well, let's see. Let's turn over. Page 371. Let's sing All Arise and Go With You.